Good afternoon, everybody. And for those that haven't been here before, we will be recording these submissions and they will be available on the public record. And when any submitter comes forward, could they please get the microphone at a comfortable distance, because everybody loves to hear and some are very softly spoken. And we give you a bell at 5 minutes, again at nine, so that you know 1 minute to go. If you'd really like questions, then that's how you frame your speaking time, because we close off at 10 minutes, just to get through the day. So we ask the first submitter to the table, Michael Whedon. Good morning, Michael. He was here this morning. So this is submission 1137, page 129. And he knows the drill because he's watched it this morning, haven't you, Michael? Yeah.
This would have to be the first time I've spoken to a group where...
push it back, that's it.
I've spoken to a group where there's fewer in front of me than behind me. It's probably like the day I got married.
Yeah. That lasted.
I'll introduce myself. My name is Mike Whedon. I've been in Rotorua since 1989. My whole life has been devoted, working life has been devoted to the dairy industry. So I've come across a fairly wide range of people involved in the dairy industry. And since then, I'm devoting all my time to charities. So my time is limited. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I consider it a privilege. I could have written my submission 10 times and they could have weighed, gone from one side to the other. I found it very difficult. I've got views on both sides. However, it's wrong to assume that I'm well and truly one way or the other. A few points I'll make in relation to what I've said is that I've been impressed with the proposal that Tiara has outlined when it comes to selecting two representatives for council. And it also impresses me that the council will be negotiating with the Tiara leaders to ensure that whoever is going to be selected is very appropriate for the position. I've got a bit of concern in relation to the standing committee. I can't understand why the standing committee process hasn't been effective. When you think of the number, one of the reasons given has been that there's been a communication breakdown. Well, when you consider the means of communication today compared to yesterday, I just can't understand why the system hasn't worked. It makes me think that perhaps the personnel could have been the challenge, not the system. Our two main cultures work extremely well together. It was on Easter Good Friday that I went to a church service under the sails, and I saw a scatter of cultures there. The introduction was in both Maori and English. There was a smattering of... There were Maori hymns sung. Everything was so wonderful. And there were other cultures there too. It really moved me. One of the concerns is that with the Maori culture, for some reason, we have probably a higher percentage of people who are in lesser skilled positions. And this is something that we as a community and as a country have to work towards helping. When we have a culture where a higher percentage are in less skilled positions, we will probably tend to get more unemployment in that culture, and I believe this is the case. It was on April the 14th in the Daily Post where I read about the Maori Business Awards. I found it quite exciting reading about the Maori Business Awards. And this is an example where Maori are given an opportunity and encouraged to perform better. In that presentation, the article was written by a local reporter, but it related to the Maori Party Wairiki electorate representative to your flavel. It made reference to the fact that the local Maori, a dairy company owned and run by Maori, the dairy company America was awarded the outstanding Maori business for that year. They had been in operation 4 years. They processed probably a range of milk products, but one of their main ones is UHT, ultra high temperature milk. And it is exported to 23 countries, and they've been in business for such a short period of time. There's certainly huge skill in that field. And I'm saying this because even with the current system, we are seeing some brilliant Maori systems and processes coming to the fore. I think it's wrong to assume that that culture is being suppressed. In fact, I can't help but being impressed with it. In the same area, just north of Taupo, and I can't think of the name of the Maori Trust, they have converted dry stock farms to dairy farms. They are growing tomatoes under glass thanks to geothermal steam. They have a geothermal power station. The progress and the rapport they have in the community is ginormous, and I think it's fantastic. And we can't help them. We can't do too much for them. So, all in all, we have to ensure that we have a system in place which does justice to both cultures. And if it means that if we're unable to ramp up the standing committee approach, and if we have to appoint a couple of representatives from the Te Ara base tribe, so let it be. But we've got to work from the goal back, not from the ideas forward. The goal in relation to all this has to be very clear. We have a fair way to go. We know that the unemployment in Maori is too high in comparison. However, there's a lot more work going into it. The gap will only widen if one culture goes ahead faster than the other, and I hope that'll never be the case. Thank you.
Are you happy for questions from the committee?
You can always ask me them.
Yep. Does anyone have a question? No, there appear to be none, so your submission was obviously clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
We ask Alan Escort for councillors 1146 on page 130. Good afternoon, Alan.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Need to bring it a bit further forward. We can hear you, but those at the back can't, and they enjoy hearing you.
Good. I'm pleased to give you my thoughts on the Te Ara Partnership proposal. Briefly, my background is that I am a fourth generation New Zealander, beginning in 1843, and my children and grandchildren all have interests in the Rotorua district. I came to Rotorua from the South Island via Tokoroa in the 1960s and lived at Rotuiti from 1971 for 35 years. Lake water quality issues soon led to me serving 6 years on the Rotorua County Council, representing the people of the Rotorua District, and for part of that time, also on what is now the Regional Council. My involvement in lakes water quality continued for some time after that, on the Guardians of the Lakes and on an officials committee. I grew up believing that I was no more and no less than equal to everyone else. This is the first time that I have felt this equal status to be threatened. Why should anyone effectively get two votes when everyone else gets only one? I have always accepted that elected councillors are required to act in the best interests of the whole community. Also, that this requires being informed about the different circumstances and views of individual electors and special interest groups and organisations. The proposal of a partnership goes beyond the requirements of the Local Government Act and Resource Management Act, which require councils to enable Māori to contribute to democratic and effective decision-making processes. Rotorua's Māori population have already demonstrated their ability to contribute to councils' decision-making by being elected to council. Councillors with Te Aroha affiliation have served on council for many years. Decision-making is reserved for elected representatives. The argument of a distinction between the full council and its strategy, policy and finance committee and the operations and monitoring committee is not valid, as each is the full council and this is where the work is done. No other special interest group will have or has had this advantage to promote their own desires or to argue against the interests of others. The proposal to have an unelected Te Aroha person on the Town Planning Committee is also totally unreasonable and quite impractical, as conflict of interest issues would arise very frequently. If the Te Aroha Partnership proposal options 2 and 3 were agreed to, then the rest of the Māori population in the Rotorua district would need to have a similar arrangement, also giving them 2 or 3 representatives on each of the full council committees. I would like to see this matter resolved on the basis of equality, morality and respect, rather than by spending our money on legal arguments which only benefit already wealthy people in other cities. I see the partnership proposal as very divisive, as all non-Te Aroha people and other groups will believe they are being relegated to second-class citizens. It would also result in the council's integrity appearing to be compromised in the eyes of the rest of the community. I fully support the concept of formalising groups to communicate with council and councillors, as this will give more people experience in formulating ideas and processes for contributing to council's decision making. This is as required by the Local Government Act and Resource Management Act. I fully support the concept of Te Aroha contributing, but not at the expense of other Māori or other minority groups, and certainly not as unpaid, unelected and unpaid contributors. In conclusion, as expressed in engineering terms, I believe it is back to the drawing board time. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Do we have questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In your written thank you for your submission, Alan. Appreciate that a lot. In your written submission, I quote, "The most equitable arrangement that all minority or special interest groups should have access to council, councillors present their views on the issue." So, with the if there's a cost-saving feature involved, what type of system would you think would which would work? You know, if council doesn't have a lot of money to go along or be involved with lots of organisations and have special meetings all the time with different organisations.
Well, I believe people have to bring the messages to the council. I'm not suggesting that councillors have to go and interview everyone in the community.
Thank you. Maxwell.
Thank you. Kia ora, Alan. Good to have you. Tell me why you don't want to have two votes when we have that now for national elections. We vote for an MP, we vote for the party, and we have no say on who the list MPs are.
No, I don't see that as anyone having two votes.
Yeah. Well, we have that now.
Questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Very good.
Thank you.
And now, Anthony Baker. Good afternoon. So for us, this is submission number 1149. Page 131. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Worship. You may call me Tony if you wish. My friends call me Tony. Your Worship and councillors. I still do not like the wording of the statement of proposal. Do you support in principle the intention to effectively partner with Te Arawa? In my submission, I said no, and my answer today is still very much no. This last weekend, I was reading a discussion paper written by Mr. Basil Morrison. I'm sure you'll know Mr. Basil Morrison, President of Local Government New Zealand. Mr. Morrison's paper is called Frequently Asked Questions on Council-Maori Engagement, a resource to support councils. The first paragraph of Mr. Morrison's foreword says, and I quote, "The Local Government Act 2002 requires councils to consider and promote the current and future well-being of communities. It also introduced new responsibilities and opportunities for engagement and cooperation between councils and Maoris." The second paragraph, last sentence, says, "Feedback from iwi, hapu and Maori groups also indicates a desire for improvement in their engagement with local government. It is not Te Arawa that council needs to partner with. It is, as the paper says, opportunities for engagement between councils and Maori. There is no word of Maori partnership groups in Mr. Morrison's paper, only improvement between councils and Maori. I take this as meaning Maori in general, not Maori groups. Why partner with Te Arawa, who appears to be a very asset-rich group from investments, etc., and who are very, very well organised? It appears that the Local Government Act 2002 is asking that councils engage with Maori to help those other groups who live in poor housing conditions, to help those Maori people who have just lost their jobs to be re-employed, to make sure Maori kids have shoes to wear to school and have a proper school lunch, and the big one to try and get the Maori crime rate down. I see it would be better for one only non-Arawa-affiliated councillor to be responsible for the engagement between council and Maori groups and report back to the full council. The $250,000 spent on the Te Arawa partnership proposal would be better spent on helping underprivileged Maori families rather than just one Maori group. Te Arawa has done very well over the years. Thank you." That is the end of my verbal proposal submission, but I'm free to answer questions.
You, Tony? Do we have questions?
Just a comment that in your submission that you made, Tony, in the further comments, when you were concerned about the standard of chairing of committees. Have you been to many committees and watched that?
Yes, I have. I know it's a debate. You're in this room to debate issues.
We're hearing you today.
And I know that some of you are professional politicians or have been. But I was very disappointed at the way that the 12th of December meeting was chaired in one respect, and that is that when I think Your Worship put forward the first motion and then Councillor Sturt wished to move an amendment and you refused that amendment, and I feel, and I'm only going by memory, that perhaps that was not in order for you to do that, Your Worship. I felt that the amendment should have been allowed.
Only that one meeting that you are referring to.
Yes. Oh. True. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you for your submission. You mentioned about different groups being involved. Would you be happy with Maori wards in the Rotorua region? Elected, you know, by all the Maori people, not just the Te Arawa Maori people?
Councillor Gould, I feel that that's how the Maori people in our district should be treated, as a group, rather than different tribes. And there are other things which we could talk about for hours about that. And one thing is that if we allow Te Arawa to go along with this proposal that's put forward, we're leaving ourselves in this district wide open for all sorts of other groups and wanting 250,000 each time. And they have a right to ask for that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for coming in and giving us your point of view. Have you talked to other Māori in Rotorua and asked them if that's what they would support?
No, but I've grown up with them since 1949 when I came here, and I understand those people. I mean, they are people, and I feel that they want rights like everybody else, whereas at this moment, with this proposal, we're just targeting one group, and that is Te Arawa. You know, there's all the other tribes and Māori groups that should have, in my opinion, the same rights. But with this proposal, they're not getting those rights until later on, maybe.
Yes, thank you very much. You are aware that this is a Te Arawa proposal. Are you aware it's a Te Arawa proposal?
Yes, but we're also, or the council will be debating whether the proposal is a yes or a no, and I'm just, what I've submitted today is that perhaps it should be, the proposal that's been put forward should be voted on as a no.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to...
The Maxwell.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I'm just taking from what you've submitted in that here, and I don't know if you might want to answer it because we're all here with open mind, but you've got too many councillors have their own agenda and do not vote with all ratepayers in mind. Do you want to name us?
That's not an appropriate question.
No, I don't mean that at all.
That's entirely subjective. You don't have to answer that, but you may. If...
Well, I mean, for a start, we've got you have got three Te Arawa councillors, and immediately that becomes a bit of a worry to people like myself, because if there's going to be something that is to benefit Te Arawa, they are obviously going to... That'll be three votes for a start, without even thinking or about the rest of the community, how they feel. I mean, I would do it if it was something to do with car clubs.
I voted against Maori.
That's right. That's subjective. I think it's not debating. Well, thank you, Tony, for coming with your submission.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And now, Brian Eagle. Brian, thank you. And this is submission 1195, page 132. Good afternoon.
Your Worship, the Mayor and Councillors of Lakes Council, tēnā koutou.
Kia ora.
Ngā mema o Te Arawa, tēnā koutou. Ngā mema o te iwi, tēnā koutou. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Tēnā koe.
First, I thank the Council for this opportunity to speak to my submission concerning the Te Arawa Partnership model. Secondly, I congratulate you and Te Arawa on this proposal, and I support it. I support the proposal because I see it as a first step toward a full partnership between Te Arawa and the Council. However, I acknowledge the proposal of itself by no means creates the partnership. I therefore encourage the Council to take this first step, but then for the Council and Te Arawa to work on developing a model that will bring about full partnership. Your Worship, such models already exist. They include... The Methodist Church of New Zealand, it's the Methodist Church of New Zealand model. This is the model I'm most familiar with, being of that church. The Methodist Church has been using this model for over 30 years, since it determined in 1983 to become a bicultural church on the way to becoming a multicultural church. You might note that the church has been to the fore and been inclusive. It has been ordaining women for the ministry for nearly 56 years. It has not discriminated against ordination of gay persons, and its membership is made up of persons from various cultures, the main ones being Pākehā, Māori, Tongan, Samoan, Fijian, and South Korean, cultures which, along with others, make up today's community. A second model I'm aware of is that used within the Anglican Church in New Zealand. This is similar to the Methodist model, except it covers New Zealand and Polynesia and other structures within that church. Thirdly, I offer the partnership model of for local bodies proposed by Whatarangi Winiata, former professor of accountancy at Victoria University and former tumuaki of Te Wananga o Rokawa, who in 1997, along with Ngāti Rokawa, presented partnership models for the Anglican Church, for local bodies and for Parliament. The Church adapted the proposal in revising the 1857 Constitution. These models and that of the Methodist Church incorporate commitment to the Treaty of Waitangi. And incidentally, these two churches were both active in New Zealand pre-1840 and were involved in the development of the treaty. French Roman Catholics were also present in New Zealand at that time, but were not part of the treaty development. I acknowledge Te Arawa did not sign the treaty. Your Worship, the Methodist Church, Tahi Buteriano Aotearoa, this treaty-based model is given effect through the use of consensus decision-making, much more democratic than the so-called democratic model presented to you by the pro-democracy society. I have publicly described that model as a colonial model. It belongs to yesteryear. At its worst, it can be tyrannical. History has proved this. And because it incorporates majority rule, it has historically denied women and people of different cultures significant say, especially in matters arising from their gender, sexuality, or cultural perspective. Such models have been institutionally sexist and racist, and often still are, this because with majority rule, they are inherently so. Despite being given the vote in Aotearoa in 1893, women are still underrepresented in such forums. Rotorua is something of an exception, but numbers in council still do not reflect the percentage of women in our community. And I note the Rotorua Lakes Community Board is still made up of senior men only. Further, under majority rule, people of minority groups, for instance, of different cultures, inherently miss out in decision-making simply because they are of a minority. Even though elected, as some are, history demonstrates they are not particularly likely to succeed, especially when advocating concerns derived of their own culture. Else they tend to be subjected to majority culture paternalism. Also, members of such a model can be so individualistically orientated, tending to push personal agendas to the extent they become of little use in building community or creating unity of purpose. Democracy under consensus decision-making, using caucus when appropriate, facilitates the prospect of partnership. It is more inclusive, engages a larger number of members, minority options are more readily acknowledged, a greater chance of obtaining unity of purpose with a variety of values can be achieved, and it leads to more stable, longer-lasting decisions. It does not mean unanimity or total agreement. It does foster an ethic of working together for the greater good. Consensus decision-making is used in a number of parliaments around the globe, and in other forms. Your Worship, consensus decision-making works. I know that from working within the Methodist Church. I would add, if the Council used a consensus model in decision-making, the pro-democracy society would hopefully have nothing to complain about. They too would find it more democratic than which prevails in Council and within their own model. Surely there's nothing to stop Lakes Council embracing consensus decision-making. Your Worship, I look to the day when the Lakes Council will make an unequivocal commitment to Te Aroha to work with them in partnership, using consensus decision-making processes, and never to proceed without Te Aroha on any matter they have any interest in. They are tangata whanua in Rotorua, the first people here, and nobody can take that away from them. Other district councils around the country will follow in due course. It is not sufficient to have one or two members, or three, who are of Te Aroha, but not put on council by Te Aroha. Thus, not necessarily accountable to Te Aroha, unless deliberately choosing to be so or by some other arrangement. Anything less than full partnership is neither fair nor just. Finally, Your Worship, I have provided notes from Methodist Partnership and Consensus Decision-Making Guidelines, from Whatharangi Winiata's notes on models of partnership, and other notes I've extracted from the internet concerning a variety of democratic models. Some, like that proposed by the pro-democratic society, are not as democratic as others. Thank you.
Thank you. And do we have any questions? Well, I have one, if I could ask, because you raised the issue, Brian, it's me talking here. You raised the issue of consensus decision-making.
Yes.
Would that enable a mechanism whereby the two committees of council could make a recommendation to council so that the voting is only done at the council table?
Yes, what would happen in consensus is that they can go into, for example, into, what do you call them?
Committee.
Well, you can use the word committee. Yes. Caucuses, yes, is what I was thinking of. And discuss the decision and any particular recommendation that comes from wherever, and then bring that back to the full council. And if there's unanimity across it, then you've got a decision. If there's no unanimity, then you don't. In our model of the Methodist Church, we do not proceed unless there is the decision is supported on both sides. It's not necessarily total support on everyone, but if there's a consensus from each group, that becomes the total group's consensus.
And that's a new point that hasn't been raised. Any other questions? Well, thank you for your submission, and we're hearing new aspects that make us consider more widely. Thank you.
Can I leave this here?
Love a copy of the model. And now I ask Anna Morrison, and this is submission 1205, page 133, on behalf of Te Kotahitanga or Ngāti Whakaui Assets.
Rauranga, Ngāti Rama, tēnā koutou katoa. E te pītau whakarei o tēnei waka, kei te mihi. O te rā ki a tātou katoa, e whakakao mai nei i rungi i tēnei kaupapa. Ngā mihi mahana ki a koutou katoa. My name is Anna Morrison. I present my submission today in my personal capacity and also in my capacity as chairperson of the Ngāti Whakaui Assets Trust, which is an iwi commercial entity established as a result of the CNI deal, also called the Tree Lords deal. I'm before you today to represent the interest of the beneficiaries of the trust, of which I am one, as well as the interests of future generations of beneficiaries. The images you see on the screen before you are the faces of the people in your community, the people often at grassroots who are often disengaged from the workings of local government
and whose voice is often missing from your deliberations. They, like myself and Whakaui Assets Trust, support the partnership model. Our vision is for a meaningful and effective partnership with Te Arawa that will enable Te Arawa, the Council and the community to move forward together, tātou tātou, and grow a more prosperous, cohesive and equitable Rotorua. A good partnership requires mutual respect, shared aims and courageous conversations. Te Arawa is ready and willing for such a relationship, and we encourage the Council to approve the Te Arawa partnership model so we can work together for the benefit of Rotorua. I've taken the time to read the submissions of some of the people who have presented before me today, and a number of negative themes emerge. Firstly, fear and lack of trust of Te Arawa intentions. There's a palpable and irrational fear of Te Arawa self-interest, and that this partnership threatens both race relations and would divide our community. Te Arawa have always worked in the best interests of Rotorua. Our whenua is buried in this land, our ancestors perished defending this land, and our ahika has never been extinguished and never will. We have a link to the land and to this community on a level that is much deeper than just another interest group, a term which has been used to describe Te Arawa in a number of submissions already received. This term sounds as though we've got a choice in the matter, as if we were a hobby group or a social circle. There is no choice for Te Arawa. As mana whenua, it is our obligation to work collaboratively to ensure Rotorua prospers. We have intergenerational skin in the game, so to speak, and our commitment and contribution to the Rotorua community is the only constant that can be assured. This kaupapa has also exposed how deep the anti-Māori sentiment runs in Rotorua. Personally, I'm hugely dismayed and genuinely surprised at the intensity of the vitriol. Ridiculous comments questioning Te Arawa's ability to put forward skilled and capable people are out of order and inflammatory, but most importantly, factually incorrect. There is a saying that fear stands for false evidence appearing real, and this rings true here. Given that my iwi Ngāti Whakaui are in the top four nationally for NCEA achievement, and the 20-odd years of tertiary investment by Ngāti Whakaui Education Endowment Trust Board means we have very, very deep pool of talent to choose from. Perhaps this is what people fear. Skilled, articulate, globally experienced Te Arawa who can navigate Te Ao Māori and Te Ao Pākehā and who can represent the interests of Te Arawa, Māori and Pākehā due to their bicultural competency. On a personal level, I'm raising my children to be strong, both in their worldviews and their cultural identities, both Māori and Pākehā, and to be global citizens who respect and seek to understand cultural differences. What are these people role modelling for their children and their grandchildren? That difference is complex and something to be feared? That homogeneity is the preferred option? Or a negligent approach in this day and age? An age where diversity, be it gender, ethnicity, age or cultural, is widely acknowledged as an enabler for better decision-making and innovation. We need to build decision-making forums that are diverse, connected, lead with purpose and integrity. Good governance requires that people bring unique lenses, mindsets and differing skills to a decision-making forum. This is what the Te Arawa partnership model offers us. Rotorua and race relations will be better for it. A shared vision that is born out of a meaningful partnership would, in my view, negate this perceived threat of community division. There's also a saying that a head full of fears has no space for dreams. Let's dream big, Rotorua. We are only constrained if we choose to fear positive change. Secondly, there's allegations that unelected representatives lack accountability and that this will lead to corruption. Despite honest attempts by councils to be close to Māori and iwi communities, it's never really truly hit the mark for a myriad of reasons, including mistrust, lack of commitment, ineffective forums, or just not knowing how to access these communities with empathy and understanding. For the Te Arawa appointees, working with iwi and Māori communities is core business, it's business as usual. What once was hard for councils to achieve can now be guided by people who are experts in iwi sectors and Māori communities. What was once inaccessible can now be opened up in a way that produces results, and good results for the whole community. This is only part of the value of having mana whenua representatives participate as decision makers in council deliberations. In this way, the partnership model should not be feared as producing community dysfunction, of causing undue influence, nor abrogating rights. In fact, it's been implemented successfully in other cities as we sit here debating its worth. A colleague of mine on the Auckland Independent Māori Statutory Board has described to me, personally, how Māori appointees on the Auckland Council subcommittees add the following value. They provide an independent and apolitical perspective, thereby reducing political groupthink. They invariably advocate for the interests that are common between Māori and socioeconomically vulnerable members of the community. The risk of disproportionate power is nil, given the voting makeup, as it would be here. The Māori appointees bring a different and new set of skills and networks that have strategic and economic value. It provides council with opportunities to consider interests, options and implications that they may not otherwise have. Finally, it has enhanced the relationship between tangata whenua and tauiwi within a treaty relationship context. I challenge those that state that the Te Aroha partnership model will lead to corruption to provide valid evidence of this. As a council, you will know that corruption is a symptom of poor governance, and within local government there are comprehensive and effective mechanisms in place for ensuring prudent and transparent use of local authority, resources, and for preventing and combating corruption by elected members, officers or appointees. The legislative provision and machinery are both comprehensive and rate highly for integrity. And that whole paragraph is a direct quote that comes from a local government report published in 2014 called Fitness for Purpose, New Zealand Local Government Securing Integrity and Good Governance within a Bipartite Constitution. The report then goes on to describe specific mechanisms which provide greater transparency, participation and accountability, such as appointees on RMA panels and appointment to subcommittees, all things that help support good governance, thereby reducing the risk of corruption. Thirdly and lastly, the prioritisation of equality over equity. A number of submissions I've read treat the terms equity and equality interchangeably. Equity involves trying to understand and give people what they need to enjoy full and healthy lives. Equality, in contrast, aims to ensure everyone gets the same. Like equity, equality aims to promote fairness and justice, but it can only work if everyone starts at the same place and needs the same things. And the assumption that we all come into this world equal is incorrect. Rotorua, you'll well be aware, is experiencing increased social inequity, which to those whom it doesn't affect is unseen and unheard. The Te Aroha partnership model can provide a greater opportunity for the interests of the underrepresented to be heard and considered within a decision-making forum. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present today. I'd like to finish with an acknowledgement of support for the council and being brave enough to have this conversation. And we need your courageous leadership to spearhead positive transformation for Rotorua. In the words of Mark Twain, with courage, you will dare to take risks, have the strength to be compassionate, and the wisdom to be humble. Courage is the foundation of integrity. Kia kaha koutou, kia kaha tātou.
Thank you, Anna. And we'll open for questions. Yes, Councillor Kent.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you for that submission, Anna. I hear what you're saying. You've stated loud and clearly, and I would have to agree with you, that Te Aroha definitely does have the skilled people who are quite capable of representing Te Aroha and all the people of this community. There are two very simple, straightforward and unquestionable ways in which that can go forward. One is called actually standing for election in local authority elections, and the other one would be to consider Māori wards. Could you please give me your opinion as to why Te Aroha does not take either of those two approaches rather than trying to do something here, which, as we have heard over the last few days, is questionable, whether right or wrong?
Okay, there's a few questions in that. The first one would be that the proposal doesn't seek to add any new rights to what is already available in legislation. So I heard through some of the submissions that I read that there's a fear that rights have been taken away, which isn't the case. I think there's a perception by some people of their rights being taken away, but actually the right to appoint has always been there. And the decision before you today is whether to actually activate that. Secondly, Māori participation in elections. I mean, the research is well known that Māori and socioeconomically vulnerable, so poor people, don't participate in elections. Nationally, the participation in local government's trending downwards. I think your last election you had 43% of the community participating.